Proverbs chapter 1. So Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 20 through 33. And previously we had looked at the first 19 verses, I believe. So we're going to look at verses 20 through 33. And you follow along as I read. And obviously as we read, let's read for understanding, trying to see the flow. So Proverbs 1, beginning in verse 20, and we'll read through verse 33. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets, she crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Verse 24. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then they shall call unto me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning of the way of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. And let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for this chance we have to be here. We pray that you would help us to humble ourselves before the Word of God and learn what this passage teaches and then apply it to our lives. Pray that you would guide my words. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So this afternoon, I want us to really contemplate this idea that are we really on the path of being a wise man or being a fool? And so this really does tie in with some of what Mark touched on this morning. And as I mentioned before, we have discussed Proverbs 1 in greater detail. But I want us to really evaluate ourselves on whether we're being a wise man or a fool. And this passage really, like the entire book of Proverbs, is essentially a warning that the wise person hears. And so what I would like to do is let's briefly look at Proverbs 1:1 through 10. And I wonder, do we have a volunteer that would read those 10 verses for us? And I want to make a few brief comments on these by way of review. So anybody that would read those 10 verses one at a time. All right, John, if you would read 1 through 10 and everybody follow along as he reads.
Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and the man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark saying. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not.
Okay, so thank you. So I want to review basically two or three basic points that kind of set the stage for the entire book of Proverbs. Number one, the proverb by definition is really a short, compact statement. And so the nature of this book is this is really given so that you can take principles, you can apply them to life, and you can commit them to memory. Now, secondly, as we also mentioned several weeks ago, that really I believe the essential definition of a wise man is one who listens and hears instruction. Now, whereas in contrast to that, I would maintain that the basic definition of a fool is a person who resists instruction and doesn't hear. Now, I think we're all familiar with Proverbs 22:15 that says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall depart from him." And so really, I believe we could state every person at birth is a fool, and they have foolish tendencies. And so if we view a life in a linear fashion, the issue is not whether or not you or I have foolish tendencies. The issue is whether we're shedding progressively the foolish tendencies that we have. So every child in here is a fool. Every person in this room at one point in their life was a fool, because we come into life as a foolish simpleton, really, that's described in the book of Proverbs. And so you'll notice, again, going back to what he read there in verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, verse 3, to receive instruction. And so if we look at life in a linear fashion to where we're progressing this way, a person begins as a fool, they're born as a fool, they have foolish tendencies, and through various methods in life, they're hearing instruction. And we're going to talk about some of those in life, or some of those in a moment. And so really, the path, in a linear fashion, they start out being a fool, is as they hear instruction and they receive it and do it, they're shedding a foolish tendency here. As they receive instruction and apply it, they're shedding a foolish tendency there. And so they're on a linear path to becoming a wise person. And as we're going to look at it in a moment, and really as we read in verse 20, there's really instruction all around us, and really God has a primary way, but there's really instruction all around us. So the essence of a wise man is somebody who hears and does instruction. The essence of a foolish person is a person who rejects instruction. Now, one other thing that I think is important that is found here at the beginning of Proverbs is that really verse 7, which is a familiar verse, is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So as we talked about several weeks ago, the book of Proverbs have certain things that are emphasized. It emphasizes money, it emphasizes the mouth, it emphasizes friends, it emphasizes these many other things. And so a person could take a topical list and say, okay, here's everything Proverbs says about your mouth. Says basically, wait to answer, few words is better than more, and many other proverbs. An unsaved person could look at those proverbs, and if they applied those proverbs, they could gain from those proverbs. Likewise with money. An unsaved person could look at the proverbs in here, and they could learn from those proverbs, and it would benefit them. And as Mark preached on a few weeks ago there in Luke 16:8, where it says, the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. And in the context, as he brought out, that's dealing with, in certain business areas, unsaved people, by paying attention to details, are actually, in that area, better than saved people. So, for instance, you could watch an unsaved man like Donald Trump, and you could learn something from him. And you could look at some of the things that he's done, and you could say, okay, he's applying the book of Proverbs in that area. But I think we have to have the proper understanding of wisdom, as Proverbs 1:7 says, that God's plan for the book of Proverbs is not simply to help you avoid difficult situations because you're spouting off your mouth. Now, Proverbs will do that if you heed that. God's plan for Proverbs is not just to help you get things financially in order. Because an unsaved person that may do those things and yet they reject really salvation in Christ, they really are the ultimate fool. And so the book of Proverbs is really given from the perspective of really there is a person, Jesus or God, who is dispensing wisdom on all areas of life, whether it be eternal judgment, which would be the most important one, whether it be money, whether it be the mouth, whether it be your relations with women. In other words, God is giving wisdom, dispensing wisdom on all areas of life, and God wants a person to humble themselves and accept all of that wisdom, not some of it, because they recognize who he is. And so it's important to understand that really, for the unsaved person who may apply some proverbs, while in that particular area they could be wise, overall they're a fool. And so there's really the recognition that this comes from God, who is giving a comprehensive view on really troublesome areas in life. Now, with that basic introduction in mind, I want us to we'll walk through these verses, and there's several divisions. But if you will, notice really in verses 20 through 23, this is what I've titled the cry of wisdom. So you'll notice, for instance, in verse 20, it says, "Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets." Verse 21, "She crieth in the open place." Verse 22 gives this language of, "How ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity?" And then verse 23, "Turn ye at my reproof." Now, in the nature of Proverbs, oftentimes there is an antithesis where the first part is in contrast to the second. And many times there's parallel thoughts where it's saying the same essential thing, but in a slightly different way, and that really drives home the point. So you'll notice in here in verse 20, there's wisdom is crying. So if you imagine that you're walking through town and you're going through, you know, whether it be Cromwell, Newington, wherever you live, and there's wisdom is crying out, and it's saying, as it says in verse 22, "How long, simple ones, will you love simplicity?" In other words, the idea here is that all around us in different avenues, wisdom or the opportunity to learn instruction is available. I want to notice really three key ways that are seen in Proverbs. For instance, as John read in verse 8 of Proverbs 1:8, it's, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." The primary dispenser of instruction for people is parents. That's the primary dispenser. That's not the only dispenser. And so that's why I said, as Mark said this morning, is that there is a huge burden on fathers and also on children, but fathers to teach wisdom, but also on children to hear the wisdom. Notice, if you will, turn over to Proverbs 24. Notice in Proverbs 24 and verse 30. Proverbs 24, verse 30 says, "I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding." So notice, here's a guy in his everyday life. He's walking by. He's making an observation. Notice verse 31. "And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereon, and the stone wall thereof was broken down." Now notice verse 32. "Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction." Now, don't miss what's happening here. In other words, in the daily, everyday course of life, the wise man is learning instruction. Even though it's not dad and mom saying, "Now, son, if you do this, here's what's going to happen." Here's somebody that's simply paying attention in life and saying, "Wait a second. You know, look at this guy's field. I'm learning something," and he's considering it. So there's another source of where instruction, the possibility of becoming wiser, is all around us. Notice now in Proverbs 30, and this is a more familiar passage, but Proverbs 30 and verse 24, Proverbs 30, verse 24, "There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The answer are people not strong, yet they prepared their meat in the summer." Now, I'm not going to go into this passage in detail because we're familiar with it. But here's another example of where a wise person can receive instruction. So not only from parents who say, "You know what, now, son, when you get in this situation, here's what's going to happen." Not only from somebody in everyday life who's simply paying attention to what's going on around them, but even animals are giving instruction. So with that in mind, if you go back to Proverbs 1, where it says, "Wisdom crieth in the streets," the opportunity to gain instruction is all around us. It's all around us. The wise person has an attitude, and that's really the attitude of a wise person, is the sense that they're humble and they're looking to learn lessons about life. The foolish person, even though the lessons are all around them, has developed a pattern where he's not paying attention. And so I want us to think maybe of people that you run into, maybe people that you work with, maybe situations that you see. There's numerous lessons. There's numerous areas where we can learn instruction. So the sources of wisdom is not just in a church with a pastor. It's not just a dad with his kids. It's paying attention in life? It's looking at animals. And so, for instance, in verse 21, where it says, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. Notice verse 22. Notice the question that wisdom is crying. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? Now, notice the linear idea here. Everybody starts as a fool, but here in this context, the simple or foolish person is continuing on this path. Even though there's instruction being given them, whether it be by parents, a pastor, other things, they're continuing on the path of a fool. And as we're going to see later in the passage, really, there is a linear idea within this passage that, as Mark said this morning, God withholds chastening and judgment for only so long. There does come a point where God's grace ends and he says, okay, you've chosen this path, here is the outcome. And so really what we see there in verse 21 is an anticipation of what's going to come later in this passage. Notice in verse 23 what God wants in this cry, turn you at my reproof. And so this is true in any sort of instruction that God gives, whether it be directly from a parent, whether it be through observation, whether it be observing something with the aunt that we read about a few moments ago. What God wants the wise person to say is, okay, boy, I'm learning this lesson. I'm going this way. I need to shed this foolish habit. And so that's this idea of turn ye at my reproof. We'll make a comment here on verse 23 where it talks about, I will pour out my spirit upon you. There's differences of interpretation of what this means, but I think ultimately this has the idea of the ultimate wisest act that a person could do is the act of salvation. And so we're not going to go into great detail in the personification of wisdom because there is a lot of controversy over that. Obviously, Proverbs 8 brings that out. But I think it's safe to say that the person of Christ really is the personification of wisdom. He is the essence of wisdom. And so we do see this personal accountability there in verse 24 that I think gives credence to this idea of Christ being wisdom personified. Now, if you will, notice in verses 24 and following, so not only do we see this cry of wisdom, notice really in verses 24 down through verse 27, here we have the calamity of the fool. So we see this calamity that comes. Now remember there in verse 22, it's how long, ye simple ones. There's this concept of time that is introduced into the passage. And so with that linear concept of time, it does have this idea that in time, God's grace is going to run out. So notice in verse 24, it says, because I have called and ye refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. So notice the idea here. Here, it's wisdom is being handed out. So wisdom is calling it, saying, okay, pay attention. I want to save you some lessons. Now, we're probably familiar with it, but the familiar verse in Proverbs 13 and verse 15. And I will read this. Proverbs 13, verse 15 is a very important verse that really helps us see kind of the cautionary warning of the book of Proverbs. So Proverbs 13, 15 says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Now, that really sums up the book of Proverbs in a sense of what Proverbs is meant to do. We know from Job 5:7 that life has its own difficulties. That's the passage that says, as a fly sparks fly upward, so is man born into trouble. So we know from that in other passages that life has enough difficulties because of the curse of sin. However, as you look at Proverbs 13:15 in correlation with all the other passages, it seems to be that while life has its share of troubles, the foolish person who disregards wisdom unnecessarily adds to those troubles. Excuse me. So really, in that sense, here's a warning to you, or really to anybody that has foolish tendencies, which we all do, who's not shedding those foolish tendencies, is you're unnecessarily making life more difficult than it has to be. And that's really one of the things that Proverbs does. It says, okay, if you, for instance, run your mouth in this situation, you get angry and you run your mouth. You know, and there's a proverb, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and many other proverbs. Here's going to be the consequence. There's going to be a hard situation that comes if you do that, or whether it be money, or whether it be dealing with women. So in other words, the person who disregards Proverbs, life is going to be harder and more difficult than it needs to be. He's unnecessarily adding to his burdens. And so Proverbs 13:15 really is a key verse that really, in a sense, is God wants people to be able to get rid of some of those unnecessary burdens in life. Now that ties in with what we see here in verses 24 through 27, where we have this calamity. So here we have this person who had this pattern of being foolish. They did not turn at reproof. They did not hear instruction. So remember, Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear. That's really the definition of a wise person. So in verse 24, because I called and ye refused, or verse 25, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. So notice this ties in exactly with Proverbs 1:7, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the person who does that, notice what it says in verse 26, I will also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Now, throughout the book of Proverbs, you'll notice that the word laugh and mock really are key ideas that the foolish person does. The foolish person mocks at sin. The foolish person mocks at judgment and warning. And yet in this verse, there is a point where God turns that around and then mocks at them. And so we should not miss the irony of that because, and I believe the ultimate fulfillment of this is for the unsaved, foolish person that has died without Christ. That is the ultimate really ramification of this. But I do think there's other degrees of this application where even people in situations where God in His grace can say, okay, I've warned you, and I've warned you, and I've warned you. Even as a saved believer, I'm going to let you experience a little bit of the consequences that you brought in because of your foolish behavior. And so, as Mark said this morning, and as we see throughout the Bible, God is gracious, but God's grace is never a permission for us to continue to disregard His warnings. Notice verse 27, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Now notice verse 28, then shall they call upon me. See, for the unsaved person in hell, going back to this application, they are calling out to God for mercy. However, the timing is off. God wanted them to do that in this life. And you know what? Even for the saved person in this life, God wants us to see what's coming because we heed instruction. So Proverbs 22:3, prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And so really a key component of a prudent or wise person is to see the outcome of the path that they're on. And so they say, okay, if I continue on this path, here's what's going to happen. And so in this situation here, we have this foolish person who has not heeded the instruction that was given to them, that's all around them. There does come this destruction, and there is a point in time for the unsaved, and there are points in a believer's life where I believe God says, okay, I'm going to let you have a small taste of the path that you've been on. Now, we know that God, for the saved, He never gives them everything that we deserve. But sometimes God does let us experience some of the difficulties that we've brought into our lives. Notice verse 28, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Then they shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. See, the wise person is doing this before he gets in the jam. The foolish person is doing this after he gets in this situation. Notice, I want us to notice the third point here. Not only have we seen the cry of wisdom, the calamity of the fool, but you'll notice, let's notice also the cry of the fool. And this really is in verse 28 and 29. So there does come a point where the foolish person cries out to God. But God wants the foolish or the wise person to do that before he gets in this situation, before he experiences the consequences of sin, and that's because he's humbling himself. Let's notice in Proverbs 15:5, if you would turn there. Proverbs 15:5 says, "A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent." And then jump down to verse 32, or actually verse 31, so Proverbs 15:31, "The ear that heareth a reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. He that heareth reproof getteth understanding." And so this is what the wise person does before he's in the difficult situation. He humbles himself, he listens to instruction, and it avoids the unnecessary hardships in life. The foolish person does this, but he does it too late. So back to Proverbs 1. Notice verse 29. So here we have in this, the cry of the fool, where it does talk about they are crying out to God, but God is not answering them. Notice in verse 29, "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." Verse 30, "They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof." And so that again ties back to Proverbs 1:7, "But fools despise wisdom and instruction." Now, the last division that I want to look at here is really the caution to the wise, because in the next few verses, it really gives some principles that the wise person is going to heed. So this is a caution. The foolish person is going to look at these verses and say, yeah, that's not for me or whatever. The wise person is going to humble themselves and going to say, you know what, I need that. This is for me. So notice, if you would, in verse 31, "Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." If I or you am a person that is not shedding our foolish tendencies as we are confronted with wisdom, wherever that may be, whether it be in church, whether it be through parents, whether it be through observation, if we're not a person who's saying, boy, you know, I need to learn from that. Because, again, as it says in verse 20, wisdom is all around. There's instructions to learn everywhere you look. And I might say here that really this is gaining in popularity in the business world, is that there's more and more of an understanding from a business perspective that you can be a very good businessman even if you don't have an MBA. Now, some of the top schools don't want to let you know that, but simply by paying attention. Simply by paying attention. Now, I'm not saying that's all there is, but the point is, even unsaved people are learning the principle that if you simply pay attention and look at what is all around you, you can learn a lot that will go a long way. But that's true from a biblical perspective. So as it says earlier and as we discussed, wisdom and instruction is all around you. The wise person is paying attention. And so, for instance, back to verse 30, "But they would none of my counsel, they despise all my reproof." In verse 31, "They shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." If I or you am a person that is continually not shedding the foolish tendencies that we have, and we're on the path of increasingly becoming a fool, here is the outcome in verse 31. "Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way." So going back to Proverbs 13:15, where it says, "The way of the transgressor is hard." Whatever the struggle area may be that you struggle with, because we all have those, whether it be the tongue, the thought, or whatever it may be, God wants us to humble ourselves and listen to that instruction. And the warning is, if you don't, there's going to come the consequence where you eat of the fruit of your own way. Notice verse 32, "For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." So for that unsaved person, there is that coming judgment that is coming. And yet again, going back to Proverbs 22:3, God wants that foolish person to see the judgment coming before it gets there. Notice verse 33, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." And so we haven't had time to fully develop this, but you'll notice that the wisdom is personified. And again, "whoso hearkeneth unto me," wisdom or Christ, notice the promise there that is in direct contrast to verse 32. "They shall be quiet from fear of evil." So really the challenge for us, the challenge for me, is not whether or not we have foolish tendencies. That's a given. Every person in this room has a foolish tendency. You were born a fool. You and I have foolish tendencies. The issue is whether or not you're on the path of continually shedding that and saying, you know what, boy, I need that proverb. So I take that, I shed this foolish tendency I have with my mouth. You read another proverb, say, boy, you know what, I need that. So I shed this foolish tendency. And we're on that path. And again, going back to Proverbs 13:15, that simplifies life. Not in the sense that you get rid of obstacles, but in the sense of you're not bringing unnecessary stress and burdens. And so really the challenge to you is, what path are you on? This is especially challenging with a three-year-old boy. For those who don't know, the terrible twos don't leave once they stop being two. They continue on to when they're three. But we didn't mention it here, God gives wisdom through the rod as well. And so one of the things Proverbs gives is you want to be looking at how they're responding when you give instruction. If there's not humility when you give instruction, then there needs to be other ways to bring about that humility. And so you see this from children, you see this in adults. And so this is something that I need, this is something that everybody in here needs. There's a warning to those who are not shedding those foolish tendencies. Life is going to be hard, and God will at some point say, okay, here's the result. But to those who are wise, you know what? You can avoid unnecessary struggles, unnecessary challenges. All right, let's pray, and then we'll go to the next portion of the service. Father, we thank you again for your word. We pray that you would help us to humble ourselves. Help us to be wise people. Help us to be prudent. Help us to humble ourselves and learn instruction that is all around us. Pray that you'd be with the remainder of the service. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.